there tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Great to go to church, isn't it? Love going to church, spending time with God's people, Lord speaking to our hearts. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we've been looking at how to build an effective church, verses 1, chapters 1 through 3, how to build an effective Christian, chapters 4 through 6, takes a walk with God in chapter 4, and then our witness for God, chapters 5 and 6. Our witnesses, we need to know how to deal with each other, and so we saw number 1, the people of God, in chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to chapter 6, verse 2, then the priority of godliness in chapter 6, 3 through 6. We talked last Sunday of the peril of gold and the danger of loving money in chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10. Brings us to where we are tonight in chapter 6, and outline is verses 11 and 19, which is the pursuit of godliness, which is kind of what we've been building towards. The pursuit of godliness. We're not going to preach to all those verses tonight, just a couple verses, but in chapter number 6, verse 11 and 12 is what I want to look at. We're going to look at the challenge, Timothy. Let's read 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let's look at this tonight and see the challenge to Timothy. Paul challenges Timothy. And in this passage about what it is to be a man of God. And again, let's pause and just ask the Lord to bless the message. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. And thank you already. It's been wonderful today to be in your house. Lord, so many blessings. And I praise you. Lord, again, even tonight, I pray you be with Brother Harris in the services, Brother Alexander, as he's bringing the message now. I pray for them. I pray that you be with Brother Slee. He's standing behind his pulpit. Lord, just bless there also. Lord, thank you for the Hodnets and their services today. And I pray that you just continue to bless there. Be with Brother Elam. He is getting up now also, speaking there in Mason. Pray to use him. Lord, be with Brother Sean and give him rest. And Miss Monica, I pray to get better. And Father, we just pray for all of our churches. Pray for Bullhead, Mojave Baptist, and the services there tonight. Pray you bless them. Please continue to work at Blue Mesa and provide the needs and, Lord, direct wisdom. Speak to hearts there, please, also. Father, we just pray that you just, again, bless our services now. We'll be careful to praise you for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A challenge to Timothy. In verse 11 and 12, Paul challenges Timothy, and he starts by giving him a title. It's pretty interesting. He says, "But thou, O man of God." That term is not used a whole lot in the Bible. If you look it up, it's applied. Moses is called a man of God. Elijah is called a man of God. And Timothy, that's some pretty good company to be in. You know, for a young man, Timothy, in the Word of God, to be called that. But it was a title of honor, as Paul was, again, because of what all Timothy is having to deal with, a lot of people fighting back and teaching wrong doctrine. I think Paul is putting a stamp of approval for the church there at Ephesus to listen to, that Timothy was a man of God, a matter of honor, a matter of dignity. And today, people use that term all the time. It's even kind of a term that's thrown out there in social media a lot, and usually in a negative fashion. But they call him a MOG, M-O-G, right? But a man of God. And a lot of times it's people, it's referring to people who really overstep their bounds, and people that start maybe in pride to lift themselves higher than they should. You know, they'll say statements like, "Don't ever question the man of God, just do what the man of God says." And I'm for all following the preacher as long as they're following the book, right? Step outside the book, well, you know, if it's contrary to Scripture, we got to be very careful. We don't do that, all right? Because God is the authority. That's why it says about the man of God, that the preacher, that whose faith follow. You're following as they lead according to the Word of God. And if it doesn't contradict authority, we should follow with our whole heart. But if it does contradict the Word of God, you're not, and you should not, feel bound to follow that, all right? Take a stand for God's Word always, all right? But there's a ditch on both sides, as there is with every truth. And there's some who they roll their eyes at the leadership and spiritual authority. And there's some who, you know, they want to challenge everything. And there's some who want to, you know, hammer down and say you do whatever they tell you to. And both of those ditches, as always, are wrong, right? We follow the truth. Now, having said that, I do, because in the age we live in, I do want to say this, that, again, if the spiritual authority is not contradicting scriptures, you should follow. You should, you know, be excited, and, you know, whatever Lord and church agree on, and, you know, endorse it 100% and go forward. Again, has to be bound within the authority of the scriptures. And so he calls him, because Timothy is living in the bounds of the scriptures, and so he challenges the man of God, gives him a challenge, and gives him really a couple things as a man of God to remember. And so it's good for us tonight to stop and look at what Paul challenged Timothy in, because we need to do the same thing. Number one, as the man of God, he challenged him, number one, to flee. That's interesting, isn't it? Thou man of God, run, right? That just struck me funny when I read it, all right? But to flee, all right? He says at verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee what things? The things he's been talking about in this chapter. Run away from unwholesome words. Run away from strife. Run away from envy. Run away from disputings. Run away from this love of money, this will to be rich. Run away from covetousness. Flee these things. Run away from these things. And you and I, and we as God's children, should flee these things. Don't get drawn into these errors. Those that are looking to follow the Lord in ministry and things, flee these things. And it's so easy, especially in this age in which we live in, with social media, to get sucked into debates and fightings and arguings and everything. This week, you know, as I was, because I was studying this passage and I'm just watching and reading, you know, just good men, pastors from all over, they're all arguing about, you know, politics and things. And I mean, really throwing punches with words, and I'm just, stop it. Stop. You know, I can't control them, but I wish I could, right? Just stop. Because you're doing no one good. And again, you say, well, you know, what if you totally agree with Brother, you know, I'll pick Ron Pittman over there, right? All right, what if we have totally two different agreements? All right, if it's really bothering me, call him. Talk to him. But our testimony before a lost world should be, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if we have what? Love one toward another. That should be what the world sees. And that's why Paul says, run away from this stuff, man of God. Flee these things, all right? These envyings, it's all the things he mentions in chapter 6, envyings and disputings and love of money and a will to be rich. Run from these things. That flee, you know, it literally means take off and run. That should be our mentality towards ungodliness. That's like, you know, I always think of, when I hear something like that, I think of Joseph. Remember when Joseph and Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sin? He fled. He ran, all right? He didn't want nothing to do with that. And that should be our mentality too. And so he says to flee. Then also in verse number 11, second thing he tells him is to follow. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. There's certain things that you should run away from, and there's certain things you should run to. And these things should be important to us. And I like these, the things that he describes. I broke them up into three different categories. All right, first of all, there's some characteristics described, all right? And the first part there in that verse, it says, but follow after righteousness and godliness. Righteousness and godliness. The moment you got saved in the eyes of God, with the heart, man believeth unto what? Righteousness. The moment you got saved in the eyes of God, you became righteous. That is a miracle, because I know me, all right? And I know a lot of you too, all right? What a glorious miracle to be able to say God has made us righteous, amen? Follow after these things, righteousness and godliness. When it comes to righteousness, that's what God has made us, and that's not going to change. So why do you say to follow after that? And then godliness, and I think if you look at it, all right, righteousness is how the world sees us. They should see us living a righteous life, a holy life. How God should see us is living this godly life. Righteousness is kind of our integrity before man. Godliness is our integrity before God. And may God see us living the life that corresponds with the change he made in us. May man see us living a righteous life according to the righteousness that God has given us. And you and I should live a righteous and a godly life. All right? And that righteousness should be something, again, Paul tells us to Timothy, it's very applicable in what he was going through, but how much more even for us right now? That we live in a world today, and even in churches today, and so-called churches, all right? Where they make a mockery out of these things, and they want to belittle and take away from righteousness. God desires for his children to live a righteous life. It does matter. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're going to, you don't do these things in order to go to heaven. But you and I should want to do these things because we're going to heaven. Because of what God's done for us, and righteousness, people just want to throw this away, say it doesn't matter, it's not a big deal, just live however you want to, God loves you, come as you are, leave as you were, just go out there, you can, and enjoy everything. I watched a video of Super Bowl night of, I use this term very lightly, right, a church. And they had the whole platform was all striped like a football field. And they had all this stuff that they were doing, but the part that just was they had someone punt a Bible. Punt a Bible like a field goal. That's blasphemous. It's wrong. All right? And it's so disrespectful to the things of God. And all the people sitting there in that congregation, they're all sitting there and, they're all just, they had basically a rock concert when the service started. And they all were making a joke about going out and partying and watching the game and stuff. And they were going to, a lot of them, do that at that church. All right? And that's not righteous and that's not godly. But a lot of Christians want to, take this mentality and be like, well, I'm going to heaven, so big deal. I can act however I want to, be whatever I want to do, dress however I want to, think however I want to, drink whatever I want to, party however I want to, and still go to heaven, and you can. But why would you want to do that? I sat with someone this week and was visiting with someone, and I told them that they really did some things that they shouldn't have done. They got into some sin, and they're not a member of our church, but I was talking to them, and I said, are you saved? That person said, I'm saved, yes. And I said, why would you do that? I don't know. I said, you do know. I said, if you know that you're saved, and you still choose to do something ungodly like this, you're saying, God, I know your son died for this, but I don't care. He said, that's not what I'm... And I said, yeah, it is. Why did Christ die? For what? Our sin. So to sit there and know that what you're doing is wrong, to know that what you're being involved with, is a sin, and to sit there and say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. There's something very spiritually wrong in your heart. Because basically what you're saying is, God, I know, and I quoted the verse in Hebrews, you literally are just trampling under feet the blood of Christ. Thanks for dying for the sin, but I like the sin anyways. I would never do. That is what we do. God wants us to live a righteous life, a godly life, and we should want to because of what God's done for us. So you see this character described, and then you see character distilled. In the same verse, it says, "I follow after righteousness and godliness." Next two things is faith and love. Faith and love. Where do we get faith from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. We're going to live this life and follow as Paul tells Timothy to. It's faith. You got to be in the Word of God. Again, remember our big, what we're studying here, it's about being godly. I told the men that are training for ministry last Wednesday, I said, you know, if you're sitting here on Wednesday and you haven't had personal Bible time this week and spent time praying and reading the Word of God, and you're sitting here saying, I'm studying for be a preacher, quit kidding yourself. If you don't have the time to get in the Word of God every day, you're just looking for a job. And child of God, I don't know how much more blunt I can say it, we can't be godly and not be in the Word of God. Because faith comes from the Word of God. That means we've got to be faithful to church and not just sitting in an auditorium. Listening, growing, learning, wanting. You got to be in the Word of God in your own life. Read the Word of God. Spend time with God. But faith, and that our faith is built by spending time in the Word of God. That's where we get distilled from, right? You know, it comes and it builds in our life after we spend time in His Word. And in love. Love is, you know, pretty much that if faith comes from the Word of God, love, that's the way of God. Everything He does is motivated by love. And our Christian life needs to be the same reason. We live a righteous life, it should be because we love Him. We want to be a godly life because we love Him. We want to spend time in the Word of God because we love Him. We want to get up and teach Sunday school, it should be because we love Him. We want to put money in offering, it should be because we love Him. I mean, that's what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. You know, if you're doing all these Christian things to do and you're just doing it, you know, just because out of obligation or something that you've been taught to do and you just feel guilty if you don't, Paul said you can get up and share whatever you want to, but you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. All of it is vain if it's not done out of a heart of love. Everything should be motivated by love. When the Lord spoke to the one who came to Him and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, well, the Lord said, well, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, everything hinges. It's about loving. We go out soul winning because we love people. I hope you sang in a choir because you love the Lord. But it's all about love. And the more that we do things out of a heart of love, the more we'll understand the way of God. And the more we'll understand why we're doing what we're doing. So many Christians, they try to do all this godliness and righteousness out of obligation. Then they end up getting mad at church. You know, we talked to a guy yesterday. He was just like, and he walked past us and, you know, he talked to us for a couple times, actually. And then the third time he goes, and he didn't really, we hadn't got to the point to say we're from Kazadno Baptist Temple. But he got there, he goes, you know, hey, he said, all that matters, I love God. And I'm like, well, that's good. And he said, I used to be in one of them Baptist churches. Oof. He said, like a horse with blinders. I was just like, oof, right, made to do everything. And we're just like, oh, yeah. He says, you know any place like that? I was like, I do. Yeah, all right. And, you know, the fact, you know, he looked at it because all he ever saw was churches just being controlling. And if that's what you get, you're missing, because that's not what's trying to be preached. I mean, we ought to come to church on Sunday night, not because, you know, you're going to be hunted down if you don't. You ought to come because you love the Lord. And everything we do should be out of a motivation of love. That's why you teach your Sunday school. That's why you get up in junior church. That's why you ride the bus route. That's why you go to a nursing home. We do these things because you love God. And the more you start doing that, the more you're going to get the heart of God, which keeps you from ever getting mad at God, bitter at church. When you're doing it all out of a heart of love, even heroes can fall in front of you, but you're not going to quit because you're not doing it because of them. You're doing it for God. So may your heart be in tune with God. You see, these to follow after these characters, characteristics described, characteristics distilled, and then characteristics displayed. It says there in the verse, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and it says patience and meekness. Patience and meekness. These are things that should be displayed in every one of our lives. Patience and meekness. Patience because that honors Christ. It honors Christ. Meekness because that's the heart of Christ. He said, come and learn of me, for I am, what? Meek and lowly in heart. Character displayed. Someone asked just week, did you hear about such and such? They weren't talking to me, they were talking to my wife, actually. You hear about such and such, and they said, you know, we got church discipline. And if things aren't repented of, may get there. Boy, you got to have a heart of patience. And there's some things, I know, there's some things you got to do with, when things, I understand. But our heart should not be looking around, looking who we can church. Right? I hate that term, right? Not Bible. Everyone in this auditorium have reason to get on our face and thank God tonight for his patience and long-suffering in our life. Why would we not show that to others? And if you're following after righteousness and godliness and faith and love, patience will come naturally. Patience. So-and-so sat in my seat. I'm done with them. Patience. Somebody parked in my spot. Patience. Someone said a mean word to me. Patience. You got to learn to be patient. And not just patient, but the scripture says patient and meekness. The heart of Christ. Meekness is strength under control. Meekness is, again, being accessible. Reaching down to help someone. That's what the Lord did for us, right? He's meek and lowly. Which again means he's the most approachable being in all of the universe. He loves us. But we need to treat people, and I think that was the message for Timothy. You're dealing with a lot of junk, Timothy. He's having to correct a lot of things. So, young man, you're a man of God, righteousness, and godliness. Man of God, faith, stay in the book. Love people. Do everything out of a heart of love. Be patient. Have meekness with the people you're ministering to. It does get frustrating. It does. You know, people talk all the time. You know, I tried to reach out to them and they just didn't want any help. I know. And let's be honest, some of us were in those same shoes long years ago, right? They get so upset at them. Well, be patient. Keep the heart of Christ. Does Christ ever compromise on anything? No. He will never compromise. Be patient with people. He sure has been patient with me. He's impatient with you. So these things have to be considered, and we have to follow after that. We follow after these things. So if there's certain things we flee, there's certain things to follow. And then he says to flee, to follow, and then verse number 12, to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. There's a command here, the beginning of verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Fight. Again, that's not bringing fist up and trying to go around, all right? But it means this, that if you're going to be a godly man, you're going to be a godly lady, you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to fight. And in part of this command that he gives, I outline it this way. Number one, don't give up. Fight the good fight of faith. The word fight, you're in a battle. You're in a war. Paul would tell us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual darkness in this world. You and I are in a spiritual battle. You say, I'm not engaged in one, then you're losing. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. But not only that, but if we're going to take a stand for what's right and we're going to continue standing, and if, praise the Lord, and you know that where the church is and where the church stands on things, and thank the Lord for that, to God be the glory, and we try to teach things over and over again and repeat things, because I want the church to be in the same place if the Lord doesn't come back 30 years from now. Amen. I want us to stand and believe the same doctrine. I got news for you. If the Lord doesn't come back in 30 years from now, the only way this church is going to be standing for the same doctrine, you're going to have to fight. We're not picking up arms against anybody. We're not raising fists. I mean, you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to know what you believe. You're going to have to be able to look at someone and say, no, that's wrong. And get in the Word of God and study these things. I love the word that Paul uses here when he talks about that. It says, fight the good fight. That phrase right there, it is a Greek word. I'm not going to get into that. But it was like a wrestling match, a fight. Kind of would be related to, if any of you are into that, like the MMA and things like that, all right? It wasn't like professional wrestling, like, it's real. All right, you know, it was, they were fighting. And in those days, and this word would have meant something to everyone that read this, because in those days, the fight that he was talking about, loser had his eyes gouged out. Pretty serious. If you were fighting, you didn't quit. You didn't just say, all right, I'm tapping out, that's good, all right? Your eyes were going to be gouged out. And that word that he uses there is trying to get a hold of Timothy of the seriousness of fighting. You're in a war. You have to fight for these things, but it's worth it. The Bible says it's a good fight. Amen? Amen. It's worth it. There are some things, listen to me, that are worth fighting for. Doctrine is worth fighting for. And again, by fighting, I'm not punching anybody. We're not, stocking up on ammo, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, the only way to fight for this, and everyone agree we're going to have to fight for these things. This is what it says. Amen? Amen. I hope you agree with that. Amen? Going to have to fight for these things. Y'all with me? This fight is not from, false doctrine. Take it outside, buddy. All right? No, that's not what this fight is, all right? It means this. You better know what you believe. You got to use Scripture. You better know what the Scripture says. So when it comes to these things, salvation by grace through faith. Brother Chad believes that. Not by works. Amen. And praise the Lord. But it's Brother Chad's responsibility to make sure that those boys and that daughter of his, they know why. Salvation by grace through faith. because they're going to get challenged on it. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a warfare. And we don't get mad and throw fists. The way we win that battle is by standing on the Word of God. Your sword. Remember the sword? Your sword's what? The Word of God. And you take the Word of God and you better know what you believe. That's why, man, you come to church every time the doors are open. Because I'm going to need this. My kids are going to need this. You're joking to yourself, mom and dad, if you're going to try to hit a service once or twice, be involved in half the things that's going on, and never make sure your kids are fully involved in these things and you're not fully involved in it and expect, well, they're going to stand where I stand in 20 years. No, they won't. No, they won't. They won't. You let them miss church for any reason. Hit and miss on Sunday nights and Thursdays. Don't ever bring them to any institutes. Don't have them involved. Don't making sure that they're listening in church. Never ever bring them soul winning. Never put them in any activities. I want my kids to have the same church that I had. They're not. They're not. You're going to have to fight for these things. You're going to have to fight your flesh. You have to take a stand on these things. And he uses this word, and he talks about it's a war. You're going to have to fight, but it's worth it. It's a good fight. Amen? Your church, doctrine, your family, these are things worth fighting for. Amen? I mean, I guarantee someone walked into this auditorium and tried to threaten people, there'd be some people they're going to have to deal with. By the way, should that ever happen, we have certain men that are designated for that. Please let them take care of it. We don't want 17 people shooting bullets, right? It's all handled, I promise, right? It's going to be a fight. Someone tries to grab one of your kids at Kroger's this week, it's going to be a fight. Not going to happen. Over my dead body, right? Someone tries to hurt your spouse, fight's on. Someone try to attack Stacy, I'll die defending her. That's the exact same mentality we need to have when it comes to spiritual things. This is important. Important. And you see the war, and you see it's worth it, but you also see the ring. I want you to consider the ring, because every fight takes place in the ring, right? What is this? What's he talking about? Where's this fight going on? Where's this warfare going on? Interesting enough, right? In the church. Because there's people that are trying to pull people away from the truth. Timothy, thou man of God, you need to flee these things that they're involved in. You need to follow after these things are right and fight for these things. I don't want us looking around and be like, all right, who am I going to fight, right? But the idea is, the mentality is this, that if someone gets up and tries to introduce some wrong doctrine, and I want you to get this too, church, right? With the theme that we have this year, I expect to have so many visitors at church. And when they're here, also, church, everybody listen, amen? We're all locked in, amen? When they're here, talk to them. Right? Brother Price, this is his first time here. He's never been here, and he's sitting in that seat, all right? And everybody comes over for church. You don't look, your seat will still be there. Go talk to him. All quiet, but because we need to talk about this, all right? Amen. And I hope that you know the name of the young man's first day ever in church today. 50% of the people in this auditorium should know his name. Should. I didn't say 100. 50% should. I mean, we're going out trying to get people in. Amen? Move. Go talk to him. Go introduce yourself. And we need to help people. Now, as we grow, we see more people, and we are growing. Isn't it great to look at the church growing? It's awesome, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord, right? In the days ahead, the devil's not going to lay back and be like, well, I'm going to let that church grow, right? Man, even them alone. It's not going to happen. He's going to fight it. He's not going to fight it from, you know, there's no enemy going to come through the trees back there and attack us, right? And there's probably not going to be a big outward attack from the outside to try to divide on the inside. Be careful. Don't get wrapped up in the envyings and the disputings and the love of money and the will to be rich. Y'all follow Paul's teaching here? Flee these things and fight the good fight. So Paul talks about, listen, there's a command here that Timothy, you're going to have to fight and you're going to have to do these things. And in our outline, don't give up, fight the good fight, and then don't let go. In verse number 12, don't give up and don't let go. Lay hold on eternal life. Keep your grip on this. Now, understand, it's not about he has to hold on to eternal life. It's this, hold on because you have eternal life. Hold on because God saved you. You are His. And it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Man, get a hold of this. You are God's forevermore. Someday you're not going to stand before that guy who's mean. You know, as far as I know, this guy's in heaven I'm talking about. This is years ago, right? I mean, I was just a teenager, and older teenager. I was like 19, but, you know, I brought these kids to church. I was so excited to bring them to church, and they were acting up in church. They were acting up. And I was in junior church, so in the service, they were acting up. I was over there. They were teenagers. They're sitting over here. And this guy walks up to me, and he's just like, he goes, hey. He never smiled. I'd never seen him smile in my life. He was like, hey. I said, yes, sir. He goes, don't bring them kids back to church. I was like, I'm going to bring them back. And he was like, bring them kids back. I'll meet you outside. I was like, okay. I'm bringing them back. He got so mad. Hey, what'd you do? I went and told my dad. You know, I was 19, man. I wasn't fighting this guy. You know, and Dad went and talked to him and, you know, told him, you know, these kids need to be at church. And there's going to be battles. So why do you keep going? Because it's worth it. Because eternal life is real. And knowing the benefits and the privileges and all that God wants to do and is doing and all that lies before an obedient life, hold on. Don't let go. Is that a Baptist temple? Don't let go of doctrine. Don't let go of holiness. Don't let go of your Bible. Don't let go of these things. Because we're going to spend an eternity with God and we're going to stand before Him one day. I don't want to look and put my head down because we let go. Fight. Fight the good fight. Don't give up. Don't let go. And then you see the command, and I want you to see, and we're closing, the calling. The calling in verse number 12, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you're called. Is he called to be a pastor? No, he's called. Again, this is all things he should be doing because of his calling, which is the same calling that every one of us have in this auditorium. We're all to be a student of the Word of God. We're all to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all to be sanctified. We're all called to be separated. We're all called to be soul winners. We're all called to be salt in this world. We're all called to be a servant of God. Every one of us have that calling. If you're saved, that's your calling. So don't give up. Don't let go. Because God's called you to do these things. And you see a command and a calling, and I close with a commendation. It says, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you have done well. Timothy, people knew when I sent you there that you were a man of God. Timothy, you've been called to these things. You've been a faithful servant. Timothy, you've shown it. You've lived it. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Because people are watching. People are watching. Is that a Baptist temple? 57 years. Churches, mountains and valleys, grown. Come to a place and you've held doctrine, righteousness, godliness, a burden for souls. God's doing some great things. That Baptist temple. We got so many young parents. Awesome. Blessing. Praise the Lord for all those who've been here 30, 40, 50 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking around what God and the potential for Kazada Baptist Temple with all these, you know, still a young family, right?
Right.
I still got a kid at home. All right, yeah. Amen. I got a granddaughter too, but hey, you know, right. Still young. And Brother Jordan on these boys. Boy, Grace sitting there holding Allie. Tyler, God bless you with three wonderful daughters. Devin and Kathleen back there. Beautiful baby. She only cried once during choir, so it was awesome. We got better, so she quit crying. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. I forget who I was talking to now. One of my greatest fears, and I try to keep accountable in this by telling people this, and I'm telling the whole church tonight, one of my greatest fears is I watch as pastors, they stand, and 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 they get tired. Talking to Brother Harris, his Brother Price I was talking to. Talking to Brother Harris this week, and he was with a pastor that, man, I mean, not belittling his what a great ministry he's had. But his words, I'm just tired of fighting. Things are starting to slip. I told Brother Price, that's my greatest fear. Church, Mom, Dad, keep holding on. Keep on fighting. Don't let go. Don't give in. Fight the good fight of faith. Flee these wrong things. Follow after these right things. So that God can continue doing a great thing. Because when we quit following and we quit fighting, it won't be here. It won't be here. Appreciate Brother Doug. Appreciate him and his family. Love him. He's a friend. But Brother Doug's not going to be here. Sorry, man. 60 years. Brother Jordan's got to keep on going. Alex, you got to keep going. You're right. So Brother Schwartz. Appreciate Brother Miss Schwartz so much. Chad, you're going to keep on going. Make sure your kids do right. Don't quit now. And praise the Lord, Brother Miss Salee. Huge foundation in our church, man. Brother Ricky, Rachel, and the boys. Can't quit, man. Can't let go. Gotta keep going. John, Kathleen, Russell, not a lot. Thank God. Don't quit. And don't quit. Because if we don't purpose in our heart, it won't happen. And that's what Paul is trying to get a hold of this young man, Timothy, saying, get this. May we all do it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you, and I just pray you take this invitation. Lord, just please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us, Lord, to not quit. Thank you for what you've done and you're doing. It's so